conference, he was going to pray, and I think we waved, said, can we stand in proxy, you see? And Paul Mannering was the final speaker at the conference. It would just be lovely to close the loop on the story from that perspective, if we just had a chance to grab Paul, and of course everybody wants to talk to Paul. And if we just had a chance to grab him. Now, Steph and Shel were sitting near the back door where people go out to the loo. And while we're just in the worship, Paul got up, came down, and I actually prayed this, that Lord, you would get him to come out through this door where Steph and Shel are, so I can say, Paul, grab him. And he did. He came back, so we let him go to the loo first, because I thought it would be a bit rude. But as he came back in, I just hijacked him and said, Paul, a minute, please. And I just said, this time ago you prayed over Ginola for these folks. Actually, it's funny, because when he got up on the stage, the first thing he did was then talk about this. And he thought that these were all kids. That was lovely, because they are in a kind of way. And that was rather lovely. And yeah, but the outcome was he then stood up on stage and got everybody to stand up who was in that situation. Because after he spoke to us at the door, he went up and somebody else grabbed him on the way up with the same testimony that they'd been blessed since he prayed for them. So he said, you've got to listen to what God's doing, haven't you? So anybody who's got this, you should stand up now and we're going to pray. So we know. And there were lots of people standing up, and grandparents standing for, you know, whatever, kind of bit like we did. And I just think, isn't God good? And he fulfills it in his time. So I just, to me, that was the icing on the cake to have these guys with us and Paul being there. It was just like, wow, 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 wow. And I said, because, you know, conference is like, everybody clamours up to the front and they want to speak to the speaker. And I said, Lord, I'd love this to happen. So just bring him back to this door. And there he came. It was lovely. It was just God, you're so good. You're so, so good. And we've been missing a little bit. I've done a lot of driving this week. So I've lost track. We were with three Fridays ago. It depends how we count the Fridays. But we were with Nat Lordway and his family, and with a group of people. It was kind of fun and really interesting. And working with them. And then last week, I'm really losing track of the days. I don't know what day of the week I'm living in, except it must be Sunday because we're here. We went up to Bath to be with our friends Liz and Wes Wright and Julie Brown, and they were having a conference there with a guy called Eric Gilmore, who shares all about just the intimacy with Jesus. Just beautiful, really beautiful to listen to. It was really lovely. And we went really out of loyalty to them, to be with them and just to encourage them in what they're doing and to just connect with them. And I said, Lord, it'd be really cool if we were able to just connect with one or two people around the Bristol Bath area as well. And we've been praying for a young lady called Rachel Milano, who was one of Chris Vellaton's PAs, and she's been working here in the UK. And she said, oh, there's Rachel. And we ran up and gave her a hug, but loads of people wanted to see Rachel. So I didn't get the chance to really speak to her, and we've been praying. Just, she's really been on our heart the last couple of months. And then Sheena Tranter, who we'd like to see because she's a great prayer warrior, and it's just encouraging to see her and talk. But we didn't see Sheena. But it was a good time. Then we drove back. We were hoping to be with you last Sunday morning, but we decided we'd have to get up so ridiculously early, and we were so tired. We were so tired. And we didn't get back till midday, just after midday from Bath. And I needed really to drop Ginola, eat, pack a bag, and get ready to get up at silly o'clock on Monday morning to drive back to Bristol. And I drove back to Bristol and took Rebecca, because Dan had already gone on Sunday night to pick up Ken Gott and his son-in-law Tim and his other son-in-law Luke, picked them up at Heathrow because they'd flown in to join us in Bristol. So Dan had already gone over to Bristol, and I took Rebecca over to Bristol. I can't remember what stupid time we left, but anyway, it was meant getting up early so we could be in Bristol for 9:30 for a meeting. And we met in a place, St. Michael's, Stoke Gifford. What a blessing. What a blessing. Because we followed the snap and found the church, found this steepled place, all covered in scaffolding and all boarded up. We thought, have we got the right location for the conference? And we turned around and said, oh, there's a coffee shop in the corner. And you could see this little Cotswold row of houses and the coffee shop on the end. Oh, let's go and ask in the coffee shop. They probably know. And he went through the coffee shop and suddenly realised that was just a doorway to this property that unfolded behind the cottages. And it was like this, only new, £5.6 million worth of stuff. It was just encouraging to see another community-based work. And they just came and said, come and use it for your conference. Didn't want to charge us for it, put on the food. It was, I met with the team in Bristol we work with, in transformational work, and we had a little transformation summit. And one of the blessings to me was David Clegg. Now, you might not know David Clegg, but if you were at ICSIS Leaders Conference, some of you here, you would have seen David Clegg, because he was asked to stand up and share what they were doing in their church in Cardiff, and they're working in schools. And I'm an extraordinary blessing and a favour with the schools to work in schools. And I gave him a copy of Ed Silvoso's book. And he contacted me about a week later, going, wow, this is just everything. It's just, I'm really excited. And I said, why don't you come to Monterey? And they seriously looked at that, joining us in Monterey and perhaps travelling to Bethel with us, but decided it wasn't going to work for them this year. And then a bit later, we got this meeting set up in Bristol. I said, why don't you come across to Bristol and meet us and meet with the transformation team in Bristol? So we met with David and his wife, Gail. That was a joy. Because they saw us at Revive. He wanted confirmation from the Lord that this was something he needed to follow up on. And he said, if I arrive at Revive and see Ian, I'll know. And they arrived, walked in, sat at the end of the row, looked round, and I was there in the same row as they were at Revive. And you know how often we go to Revive. So that was a, you know, from their point of view, a real blessing. So it was a joy to meet David and Gail there and to share into the ICSIS family there in Wales. And I said to David, so you don't know anybody yet? I said, he says, oh, I've seen Ken Gott on telly. I said, do you want to meet Ken then? Come and meet Ken. He goes, oh, I don't know. I said, come on, come and meet Ken. And I just knew who I needed to introduce him to over the weekend, and introduced him to a number of people. That's in one of our partner works in Dublin as well. Clifford was on fire. It was good. I introduced him to Clifford from Dublin. Clifford's been in this building, actually. It's just powerful, powerful time. So David and June are on fire. It's just fantastic. So God's blessing an ICSIS Link Church out in Cardiff. And it was my joy to connect them. And meanwhile, Rachel Milano walked in Bristol. And managed to grab some time, with her then and talk to her. And said, we've been praying for you, what's happening in your life. And she said, oh, well, Nat's brought me on team. I said, well, that's interesting. I'm chief of staff. I didn't know anything about that. But Nat brought her on team a couple of months ago, so that's when we started praying for her. Isn't that interesting, what God does? And she's travelling with Nat and Cynthia to the States, in Washington, Pennsylvania, on that leg of the trip. And then we'll meet up with Nat in a couple of weeks in Monterey. God's just so good. And some of the testimony, I wish I had time to share some of the testimony of the things that God is doing in the UK. There is a story now developing in the UK of churches growing, of things like this, community-based stuff. And Kevin was up with Stuart at the birthday. And another community-based thing where it's come out of what the church is doing. But God is using things to bring communities together to see things develop and make space for his spirit to move. And yet, if we want to see the revival that we were looking at through that song, it can't be contained within the walls of the church. So let's just think about it for a minute. I don't know what you call a revival. I would call a revival, there's 13,500 people living in Broadfield. I'd talk about if 13,250 of them got saved, I'd call that a revival. The other 250. Yeah, I mean, I want all of them, but I'm trying to be, you know, realistic and just miss out 1% or something. So I've often done this in my head here. 120, 150, next door, 120, next door, 100, down in the church. Ooh, squeeze up 150, something like that, maybe. So you add that up in your head, about 500-ish. And then say we can do that on a Sunday, and we do that three times on a Sunday. Do it four times on a Sunday, if you like. Do it four times on a Sunday. Four times, 2,000 people. What about the other 11,000 people? and Tim, who was with them. Tim's from Sunderland. He did the same equation for the Tyneside area where they're working. And Ken has seen some revival in the church. Let's not mistake that. In the 90s, it was one of the places where God touched with revival. And Ken would call himself a revivalist, so I'm very privileged to be friends with him. But he said, you know, this is whatever million, X million people on Tyneside, and he counted up every available space they thought they could fill on a Sunday, you know, every empty church hall, every place, and all the properties they've got and everything else. And he said, I'd be condemning 85% of the population to hell because they wouldn't get inside the doors of a church. So a revival that is coming is going to look different to what we're used to thinking about, seeing churches stuffed full. We will have churches stuffed full. But that can't be all it's about, because there's a world out there, and church has got to be on the street. Church has got to be in the shops. Church has got to be in the hospital, the school, the workplace. Church has got to be wherever the people of God get together and join together and pray and worship. And the odd few moments I was actually in the office this week between things, it was like that. The client team manager, sales guy, came up and said, I need a bit of counselling, can I just sit down, and then can we pray? And we prayed, and then a couple of folks who are in the adjacent offices to me up in the management suite, we spent time praying and blessing the Lord. Does that look like a church when people come and talk and worship and pray together and just sit and share the word together? Looks like a church to me. Perhaps it is one. And it's in a manufacturing business. And we've got to get into our heads that church can look like more than it does. And I want to just talk from this. This is one of the foundational, that's why I call it Transformation 101, foundational teachers in Transform Our World. So I'm kind of, as I was pushed for time, I'm pinching some of Ed's work here. And Tim presented it really well on Monday. The testimonies are extraordinary. And God is moving in the marketplace up in Sunderland. A new medical school has just been opened. It was opened in rapid, quick time, £500 million investment, and it's run by Christians, with Christian biblical ethics at its very core. And the health authorities have looked over and said, can you do another one? They're training doctors and physiotherapists and occupational therapists and nurses and psychologists, all training together at the same time in real time. That's never happened before. And this is coming from a physician talking about this. They want to break down the barriers between arrogant doctors who won't work with and listen to the staff who actually know what's going on. So now they're training them together. They're teaching them biblical principles of how to honor one another and work together and respect and live in forgiveness and respect with one another. And the health authority is loving it. They're saying, can you do another one? That's where we're seeing transformation work. And in the education system on Tyneside, it's happening again. If you watch, I wouldn't, because, well, now I do, I'm a grandparent, I will watch. If you watch much of the CBeebies content, particularly the documentary stuff, about 90% of that is made by Christians on Tyneside. It's pretty epic, isn't it? This is what's called transformation. This is where the ground roots of the revival transformation is beginning and starting, because it's laying a foundation for God to do something that's bigger than what we can contain within the walls. So I read this, ironically, this isn't one of the scriptures used, the one I put up here, but I read it this morning, thought that's pretty cool. Arise, shine, for your light has come. It doesn't say arise and reflect. We often pray that, Lord, we want to reflect your glory. He doesn't tell us to reflect his glory, he tells us to shine. Because his glory has risen upon us, and it's in us. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, for behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. That doesn't look like the world today, of course. So, except it does, doesn't it? Horrendously so. Horrendously so. People's minds are so blown out with postmodernist, post-truth thinking, they don't even know what's right and left anymore. If that isn't darkness, I don't know what is. But I love the next bit. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Now get this. Nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and believe. Or see, it depends on the translation, but believe. So lift up your eyes, look heavenward, and believe what God wants to do in these times. And it says, you see, if we're not careful, we miss the boat, because we don't understand when Jesus said, go into all the world, and he said, make disciples of all nations. Nations will come. Kings will come. This is happening. The health authority in Tyneside is saying, can you, the church, can you do this? Can you do another medical school? Can you run more support, psychological support? Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? And they're coming. They're coming and asking, because the kingdom is rising. But we need to lift our eyes heavenward and look. I'm going to talk about prayer evangelism. I'm going to look at Luke 10. And this is one of the key words. Oh, shame Carol's not here. I wanted to use Carol as an example. But anyway. Now, after this time, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. He was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Sorry for the American spelling there. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. Whatever house you enter, say, peace be to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him, but if not, it will return to you. We'll go on in the scripture a little bit later, but there's points to raise out of this. Firstly, Jesus said he sent them out. He sent them out. And one of the last things Jesus said was, I send you. All authority in heaven and earth is given to me, therefore, go into. He sends. And it's interesting that Paul Mannering used this last night about, he asked people to raise their hands if they thought they were apostolic. And because Gilner, I've had enough teaching, we shoved our hands up, and so did about 20% of the congregation. I don't know what Steph Michelle did, I wasn't looking. But if I said, are you apostolic? I didn't say, are you an apostle? I said, are you apostolic? Are you sent? The word means sent. Are you a sent one? Should be, because Jesus has sent you. He's commissioned it. He sent you. It doesn't say you're an apostle. You're apostolic. But apostolic people will generally be led by an apostle, and that's why we serve Ed Silvoso, because he's clearly apostolic. If he's not, I don't know who is, because he's planted churches and seen gazillions of people come to know the Lord. So he's apostolic, and we happily submit into that, and he names us as apostles sent into the UK. So firstly, know that you're sent. But it's interesting because he says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send labourers into the harvest field. I don't know what you think when you read that prayer. You go, oh, God's wanted us to pray to send millions of people into the harvest field because there's so many people need to get saved. I don't know. Is that how you think? That's how I used to think when I read that. How many is he sending here? 70. How many worked with him? 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That'll do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So we've got two lots of world changers in this room. Enough to change the world twice. Oh, sorry. You count better than me. But you get the point. It's never been about numbers. We sit back on our chairs believing for Jesus to send somebody else. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send somebody else. And lots of them, so I can stay here and not do anything. Rachel's a sent one. Goodness me, she's a sent one. She's in a harvest field. It's tough. And she's battling the demonic every day, but she's a sent one. And that's why the authority of God is on Rachel. I was going to talk about Carol being apostolic, because she understands when she goes to work, she's carrying Jesus. She's a fantastic example of it. She just does it. Nobody's told her not to, so she does. And she prays for the teachers and stuff. She just does it. Sometimes we get a bit complicated. Richard's sent out, preaching the word in all kinds of places. In shops, coffee bars, car showrooms, Peachy Head. Wherever he finds his feet, he preaches the gospel, he's sent. Caroline, sent. She goes to the gym and chairs, and we get a lovely Dell added to us because she spoke to somebody at the gym. Get the idea? It is happening. It is happening. There's others. Please, if I've excluded anybody, don't feel I'm not trying. But it is happening. Lighthouse. Loads of involvement in Lighthouse here. Thousands of children hearing the gospel every half term. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. I was away last week from the business down at, with Dan and Rebecca, but at work on the Friday night, they held what was called an evening soiree. And we invite back people who bought camper vans to come back and sit and listen to Raul de Oliveira for an evening. How's that, sneaky? Jehovah's sneaky. Raul de Oliveira for an evening. And we have wine and canapes. And then other people who might want to buy a camper van come along. How many people do you think might turn up just randomly to that? Within half an hour of putting the invite out, 37 owners of camper vans said they were going to be there. 110 other people signed up to come. And Raul de Oliveira plays some jazz, and then he lets his son go under the Spirit while he's praying for him and start praying prophetically with a trumpet over this. Jehovah sneaky. It's good. That was church happening right there. And one of the owners of a camper van, she'd lost her son recently. And Katie, my PA, had just strategically got her to park her van next to the Hobsons, and he's a vicar. And they became really good friends in that evening and exchanged contacts and numbers, and she felt really comforted and strengthened. See, it doesn't have to be here in the walls. So pray the Lord of the harvest. It's never been about numbers. It's about people who'll know that they're sent. And trust that we have an anointing, because he said, arise and shine, because my glory is upon you. And if you read the next chapter, chapter 61, you should know it almost off by heart by now. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me. Okay, what else does he say? Go out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Oh, that sounds tough. Oh, this is a crunchy, crunchy bit of the scripture, though. This is. We like to be lambs, don't we? We skip and frolic in the green pasture that he's led us into, and we like to be carried around now and again. That's really, really nice. But he opens the door of the sheepfold and says, those wolves that you thought I was defending you from, I'm now going to send you to the wolf. But I'm a little lamb, Jesus. Can't I just stay here? He says, but if you love the wolf, you'll be okay. Oh, what does that look like? What does that look like, loving the wolf? Jesus, what were the two greatest commandments? I'm helped here by some stuff we heard this week as well. And we say, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbour as yourself. Well, if you love your neighbour only as you love yourself, that's a bit limiting for your neighbour. You might love them a bit. But how about we say the new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That Jesus, so we need to love the way Jesus loved and be sacrificial. And we know he loved the wolf. Good job he did. We need to learn to love the wolf. Tim from Sunderland was sharing that one of the first guys he got to talk to when he really caught his heart was the mafia boss in Sunderland. That's fun, isn't it? Okay, Lord. And he said he was a horrible man. A really horrible man. He'd lived a life of crime. I mean, horrendous violence and stuff. And he said, I had to go before the Lord and say, Lord, I think you want me to talk to this man, because you want to touch his heart. So he started praying for this guy, and this guy came and met Tim. And Tim's looking there, trying to be smiling and just be the love of God, and they built a relationship where they bought just taken over a building. It used to be a working man's club up there with five bars in it. That's how big it is. So this five times over, because this used to be a working man's club, kind of. And they placed it there, and then in the property next door was a satanic biker gang. Satanic biker gang. And so when they held one of their first events, the car park got a bit full. And the leader of the biker gang, who is 25 stone and 6'5", came in with studs and everything else. Where's the man in charge? And everybody said, that'd be Tim. And Tim's a reasonably sized chap, but he's not. And he's a very gentle looking guy. And Tim goes, okay, Holy Spirit, this is over to you. And because he'd come in looking for trouble. coming looking for trouble. And Tim goes, Lord, you've told me to love the wolf. Show me how to love him. And this guy comes up and Tim says, I'm so glad to meet you. I've been wanting to meet you. He says, I really want to honor you for the time you give to young men and lone men in this city. I really want to honor you for giving time to other people. Tim couldn't believe what was coming out of his mouth, quite honestly, but it was coming out, this honor for this guy. And suddenly this all the anger drained out of this man. And he looked and he says, how did you know? The things I do for the guys who come out of the army with PTSD and this is the only place they can come and feel safe. How did you know I did that? And this guy suddenly says to Tim, well, it's great to see you here. And if you ever need me for anything, just give me a call and we'll be here to help you. Love the wolf, huh? And they got a report one day that, I don't know if the police had phoned Tim or something, but this kid's on the roof of the building. And Tim thought, I'll call in this favour. So he phoned up the biker gang leader. He said, oh, we've been told the kid's on the roof. He said, sorted. He didn't ask what happened. But he loved the wolf. Okay. Carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. Whenever you enter the house, say, peace be to this house. I'm going to have to really move this on. So when he says, don't take anything with you, I think that's actually saying, don't think you're really well equipped in your own self. Don't take the things that you would rely on to think, I'm good, I've done this, I know what to do here. I'll go to this situation because I'm good with this. I've already trained in this bit. I've been to the right conference to get the right training. I know what to do here. He said, don't take anything with you. Why did he say don't take anything with you? Because he wanted them to be relying on the Holy Spirit when they get there. So don't go in your own strength. And in whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a man is peace is there, your peace will rest on him and it will not return to you. So it's not about numbers. It's about learning to love the wolf. It's not about resources that we carry in our hands. But now we come to the power of blessing. Now we come to the power of blessing. We say, peace be to this house. A curse spoken. And we've talked about that before sometimes, that sometimes we can even curse ourselves with our words. If we're not careful, we can say things about ourselves, even let alone other people, that bring curses. But how is a curse dealt with? We come in the truth of Jesus and the curse is broken. It's quite simple. The authority and power of God breaks the curse. A blessing, however, is a word released from heaven. And Jesus tells us that words released from heaven are eternal. And that they will accomplish the thing for which they were sent. They are living and active. The words from heaven are living and active. So a blessing doesn't just finish a curse. A blessing chases down the one who you've pronounced the blessing over. And it will chase them down for the whole of their life. The power of a blessing is huge. So Tim tells a story about... They have a coroner as part of their church, and he gives them statistics of things that happen so they know how to pray, because they have a 24/7 prayer house there. So there's a bridge, we've run across it, the bridge. It's one of those arch top bridges made of ironwork, steelwork, or whatever it is, and you drive over the bridge, just a two-lane bridge. And in the month of January, it's probably a couple of years back now, 30 people jumped from the bridge and committed suicide in 1 month. And the coroner came to the church and said, that was really concerning. We know suicides are increasing in the world right now, and particularly amongst young people. And quite a lot of those were men. 30 people jumped. So Tim said, okay, what are we going to do, church? And they went to the prayer house and they prayed about it. And the Lord said, okay, in church next Sunday morning, who drives over that bridge every day to go to work and come back? And a number of people probably said, okay, what I want you to do is speak blessing over this bridge when you drive over this bridge. We say the peace of God be upon this bridge. We say the peace of God be upon this bridge when they drive over the bridge, to and from each day. Next month, one man died on the bridge, and it's because he was trying to catch his pigeon that flew out of the box. It wasn't a suicide. So we went from 30 suicides to none. The power of blessing. And that's been maintained. Durham Prison, it's the remand centre in Durham, was featured in a documentary not long ago because they had 10 hangings in January. 10 hangings in January. It's horrendous. So the church took it on. Tim says, okay, in the church, who wants to take this on as a prayer thing? And they took it on and said, right, as a prophetic act, every time we put something around our neck, be it a scarf, a tie, a chain or something on it, every time when you're getting dressed in the morning, you put something on it, you say, I speak blessing over the Durham Remand Centre. I speak the peace of God into that centre. How many hangings did they have that month? None. The power of blessing. When we prayer walk, we must understand the power of blessing. When you go in, Rachel, you must understand the power of the blessing that is upon you. And yeah, it does. It changes the atmosphere. It shifts things that then the natural cannot be shifted. That the whole of heaven is there behind that word. And I know you're living and working that because it's right up in... Yeah. And so we need as a church to get on that. Come on, church. We need to think of a... Somebody do that while I'm talking. Think of a prophetic act that every day, sometime during the day, something that you do will make you think of where Rachel's working. And that when you do that, you pronounce blessing. You speak the peace of God. It isn't an empty mantra, people. It really is not. This is releasing heaven to earth. So if somebody comes up with something that you can think is a way that you'll remember Rachel, you know, this... Do you know, for the next few, well, for long, go on. Yeah. Okay. Amen. Let's just, let's, yeah. Okay.
And he's saying, thank you,
you know,
for thinking that.
Yeah.
It's great that I wasn't there.
Okay, I've just seen it. Rachel just picked up her phone and said she texted the guy.
Yeah.
How often do you pick up your phone? Ha! Okay. So, do this... please, do this faithfully.
Yeah.
I'm going to release this in a minute, but can I ask folks, and only do it if you think you can do it, who's willing to say, yes, I want to speak blessing over Rachel, even over the next week or whatever, but do it. So every time your phone comes out your pocket, Holy Spirit, remind us, we just release peace over Rachel and her colleagues. And if you don't remember all the names, it's okay. Heaven knows. Heaven knows. So when you reach in your pocket and you pull your phone out, go, Lord, I release peace and blessing. And let's believe for something to change. It will. Because I've got testimony to back it up. It will. And Lord, we want to just release that over Rachel now. We want to speak to this house. Rachel is the man of peace in that house of where she works. And so we say the peace of God, the shalom of God, be upon you. We release that from heaven even now. And we all say amen to that one. So try and do that. If you forget it, don't get condemned. But try and do that. When you pull your phone out, just think of that. If you want to put a reminder on your phone, do it. But do it so we do that. Okay, I'm going to try and land this quite quickly now. But curses are easily broken. We must understand the power of blessing. If you take nothing away from today, take that away. It isn't empty words. It isn't just something when you say, the blessing of God be on you. It isn't just random. This is going to chase down where you've proclaimed that blessing. It works. We've seen it work. We've seen it work over cities, neighborhoods, streets. That's why we love doing what we do in Transform the World. Because we see it. In 2 weeks' time, we'll be meeting the people who will come and tell us even stories about it. Steve and Vicky from Oroville and Poncho from Mexico and so on and so on and so on and so on. All the people will be with them and they'll be telling us these stories of where they walked the streets and released blessing. And God changed it. Next bit of the scripture. That's it. No, I've gone too far. Let's go back up. There we go. So he says, stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you, for the labourer is worthy. I changed the spelling. The labourer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is set before you and heal those in it. I knew it was going to get tough. Heal those in it who are sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come to you. There's a very simple thing here, is when you actually meet with people. Yeah, I mean, it's great. Build relationship, basically. And receive what they give you. And that might be you need to listen to them. It doesn't have to be physically you're eating their lunch. Listen to them. Receive what it is they want to give you. Too often when we run into a situation and we think we know what they need. So we're going in already armed with our guns loaded with the gospel and these six verses I've got. And we go bam, bam, bam. And we haven't listened to what their need is, and we need to listen to what their need is, let that take on and see what Holy Spirit says to that. And then he says, heal them. You meet the need, and we are empowered, we are anointed, the glory of God is upon us to change that. And that's where I wanted to applaud Carol. She believes it. She goes into school and she says to the teachers, what do you need? And she asks to pray for them, and she prays for them and says, I'm going to get the church to pray and it's going to change. She tells them it's going to change. Guess what? It does. It's a challenge, isn't it? And then say to them, the kingdom of God has come to you. Jesus didn't say, preach the gospel. He said, make friends with them, get to know them, meet their need, and tell them the kingdom of God has come in. In fact, Jesus said, preach the kingdom. That's a challenge. I'm not going there today. I'm not saying we shouldn't preach the gospel. That would be utterly wrong. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And they were just like heady with the working works of power. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Now, I don't know. Satan has fallen from heaven, but was he actually saying, while you were out bringing the kingdom of God, I was watching what was happening in the heavenlies. And I saw Satan fall. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. How much authority does Satan and the demons have? How much authority, hear my words, how much authority do they have? Thank you. None, because Jesus had all authority. How much power do they have? No, quite a bit. More than us. They do have power. But Jesus said, and over all the power of the enemy, I've given you authority. Okay. The good analogy here is a bus is tearing along the road and a 5'3" policeman who weighs 8 stone stands in front of it and lifts his hand up. How much power has the bus over the policeman? The policeman would be flattened because the bus has more power. But the authority behind the hand of the policeman, the law of the queen of the land and all the authority of the state, says stop, so the boss stops. That's the difference between power and authority. You have authority over the power of the enemy because Jesus has already pulled it down. So we have to be careful with that and understand our position. But then Jesus cheers them up and says, don't rejoice in this that all the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in the book of heaven. Yay, God. Yay, God. You're known in heaven. You are known in heaven. Hear this. You are known in heaven. And you're out going to where Jesus has sent you. And heaven, all of heaven is going, there's our boy. There's our girl. There they are. There's Pauline. There she is. There she is. And heaven's going, come on. Come on, we're behind you. We're praying for you. We're praying for you. And the angels are going, come on, we're surrounding you. We're waiting for you. There's an army of angels just around you. massive armies of angels for Rachel. But we all got angelic assistance. We all got a host, a crowd of witnesses, it tells us about in Hebrews, that are praying and cheering us on, saying, come on, you're known in heaven. You might not be known on earth, you might not have a title, you might not be high and lifted up in the sight of the world, but heaven knows you. The God of heaven knows you. The God who has a name, his name is Yahweh. I am. I am. And the God whose name is Yeshua, Jehovah saves, knows you. The God who is Holy Spirit, who is the comforter and helper, says, I know you. I've got another slide, but I'm not going there because we're out of time. See, the commission, you're sent. Doesn't matter about numbers. It matters about who's sending us. It matters that we go to the right places, that we learn, because Jesus says, I'll build my church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. So sometimes we have to go to the gates of hell to build the church. So we need to learn to love the walls. And that's a tough challenge, which is for someone like me. But when we go in, we can release blessing. And the blessing will always overcome the curse and the works of the enemy. It will. It will, it will, it will, and we need to believe it. So we start at the beginning, lift up your eyes and believe. The glory of God is risen upon you. Why? So the nations will come and see the brightness of what you've done. They'll say, how did you do that? And I could spend the rest of the day telling you testimonies, and I wouldn't run out of stories about people, ordinary people, who drive taxis, who sell ice cream, who do things like that, who believed it, and nations have seen. Literally kings have seen. And say, can you do this for me? It will happen to you if we look to heaven and believe. Lord, let's just pray. Lord, we just thank you that you do send us out, that we are apostolic. We're the sent ones. And it isn't about numbers, it's about you. It's about being empowered by you. It's about being given authority by you. And even though the enemy looks scary and makes a lot of noise and influences a lot of people, and the darkness in the earth is horrendous right now, but you said arise and shine. So we want to answer with a yes this morning. We want to answer with a yes that we want to shine for you, Jesus. That this nation would be discipled, this nation would be changed. Thank you, you've started the work. Thank you, we're seeing the groundswell, the first steps of not just a revival, but a reformation, even in this nation. We just thank you. And right across the world now, churches are growing in the most unlikely places because you're at work. And we give you thanks and say, let us be a part of what we need to do here to usher in a great wave of your kingdom, that your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven, for your glory and for your name. In Jesus' name, amen.